Dad is actually going to come and read to us that passage where Jesus says you must be born again. So put it on the screen, page 1065 in the church Bibles, and it's John chapter, sorry, this was your bit, wasn't it, Anne?
That's fine.
Do you want to do it?
Would you like to do the reading?
I'll do sorry, Anne.
No, that's
thank
fine.
You, good point.
Oh, sorry.
No, go.
John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and on page 1065 of the church Bible. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you very much, Anne. Children, it's time to go to Bible Explorers, so follow your leaders. Leaders, there's two songs after the sermon, okay? So, did you hear that? Did you? Excited to go, isn't that wonderful? Rush to get out there. Well, keep your Bibles open, please. John 2, 3 even. That would be great. John chapter 3. So there are a number of things in the Bible which Jesus instructs us. Or you could put it this way, a number of demands he puts upon us. And here in John chapter 3 is perhaps the demand of all demands. You must be born again. Can you see verse 3 and verse 5? This passage has two very trulies in it. If you've got a different version, it might say truly, truly. Our church version's very truly. Verse 3, very truly. Verse 5, very truly. So, of course, all Jesus said was true. But some things he said are elevated to this highest level, if you like, that none of us can afford to miss. So let's pray that we won't. Let's pray. What a privilege to come under your word together today. Heavenly Father, you breathed your word out by the Spirit through your servants, and you've given us the Bible. And we want the highest view of your word. And we want the highest view and the highest thoughts of this passage as we come to it this morning. Whether we are very familiar with this passage, and we've heard it maybe 1,000 times, or whether maybe we're hearing it for the first time, or just a few. Lord, by your Spirit, would you be at work in us today to bring to life your word, which is alive and is living and is active. Would you be doing that in us, we pray and ask. Father, we do pray for salvation, being born again. Lord, we thank you. Many of us in here can say, yes, that is us. Lord, we pray for more. We want to see people born again. We want this world to know the gospel, this broken, cracking and crumbling world heading away from you. We know the answer is Christ Jesus, his mercy and grace, new life, new birth. So we pray, Lord, for your gospel today going out in this place, other churches in Ipswich, many in England, many, many around the world. Lord, would you enable your word to go out with power, that people's lives would be changed. That the hurt and recently the conflict, Lord, going on in Israel, Palestinians, Lord, we pray for that situation. That the pain ongoing in Ukraine, many hurting places, Lord, the gospel is so desperately needed. Would you impress it today and send it out with power, Lord, that people's lives might be changed, they may be born again. Help us now, we pray, in your wonderful name. Amen. So last Sunday, if you were here, don't worry if you weren't, but can you see at the end of chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, we were introduced to a kind of believing in Jesus which isn't believing, which isn't the real thing. So we understand, I think, the category of disciple, those for Jesus. But we understand also the category of kind of enemy, those against Jesus. So we might think anyone who says, yes, I believe in Jesus, are the good guys. Are they in? That kind of thing. Look at 2 verse 23. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Yes. Great. You might think, but verse 24, not so great, because Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. Jesus didn't believe in them. So as some draw close to Jesus, Jesus draws back because he knows what kind of belief people have or in people's hearts. So last week was, if you like, the principle. Today, into chapter 3, comes the case study, or the example, if you like, of a believer who is not a believer. 3 verse 1, there was a man, and this guy's one serious law swot. He is very conservative. He is straight up a Pharisee. And again, today, often think Pharisee, bad guys. Cue Billie Eilish song, he's a bad guy. But he would have been popular. He really would. He would have been like a teacher, a pastor, a writer today. So his name, Nicodemus, might have been on our small group study notes, that sort of thing. Or your daily Bible reading notes. Nicodemus, let's put this together. He was respected. But there's more, isn't there? In verse 1, can we see he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he was part of the governing of all the Jews, all their affairs, part of the council. It was called the Sanhedrin. It was like Parliament and the High Court kind of rolled into one. Nicodemus was part of that. He was probably an elder statesman. So verse 4, he mentions old. So it's likely Nick was on a kind of back nine of life, maybe even whole 16, 17. His name is mentioned, perhaps because people would have heard of him. If you read this at a time, not long after, Nicodemus. Ah, still got his study notes, you know, that sort of thing. This is going to be good. You've got Jesus and Nicodemus. Oh, this is going to be interesting. He was an impressive religious figure with also an impressive knowledge of Jesus. So can you see verse 2? There's five things he says about Jesus which are bang on. So he starts, Rabbi. Well, that's respectful. He continues, teacher. Teacher, that means one we learn from. Well, that is awesome as well. What a great approach, especially because Jesus hasn't got any training other than the courts of heaven, of course, which Nick seems to know as well, because he says, doesn't he, in this verse, you've come from God. The other religious leaders killed Jesus because of that claim, didn't they? Claiming instead at times, this man, Jesus, has got a demon. Quite the opposite. but not Nick. He says you're from God, which accounts for the signs. That's why you're doing these awesome things. And he doesn't deny the signs. He doesn't question them. But he says at the end, it's clear God is with you. So well done, Nick. It's 5 out of 5, 100%. Like, this is good stuff, isn't it? Just picture this man, everything going for him. He would have been a decent person. He would have been an impressive person. He would have been an educated person. He'd have been looked up to at the time. He would pretty much definitely have had a great intellect. He would be moral. He knew his Bible. He knew lots about Jesus. No one, probably, apart from one, of course, no one then would have thought, Nicodemus, you're not in the kingdom. No. If there's going to be a child of Abraham, it's got to be. He's got to be one of them. But Jesus says, there's one thing missing. One major thing, Mr. Big Shot. And it's this. You must be born again. You must be born again. Born comes up 5 times in these 8 verses. If you scan your eyes through, you can see it. The word just comes up again and again. That's what it's about. Cannot comes up a few times as well. Jesus is drilling down on this important and great truth. You must be born again because you are not. You cannot because you don't have the ability to see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So, of course, lots of people think there's a place for really bad people, kind of dictators, murderers, you know, that sort of thing. Sort of agrees on that, don't they? But unless you do something really bad like that, and assuming, you know, there is a God, you'll be in somewhere, somehow, surely. That's kind of common thinking, isn't it? It's not how Jesus sees things. Many people today think auto in unless you're really bad. Jesus says, actually, no, you're auto out unless you're born again. Crystal clear, isn't it, in this passage? In unless, no, it's out until we're born again. Nick visits Jesus at night, doesn't he? Perhaps he doesn't want to fall out with his peers who don't like Jesus. Maybe it's pride, maybe it's fear, maybe it's the only time in a very busy man's day. Whatever the case, he comes at night, and note this, he is in the dark. Physically it's dark, but spiritually. And note this, he comes in the dark before the light of the world. And though a leader of Israel, his darkness is about to be exposed, and he desperately needs to step into the light. Notice how Nick doesn't get a question in. He says these things, doesn't he? And then Jesus is straight in there. No small talk. Maybe it's getting really late. But he reads him also like a book, doesn't he? He knows all people. He gets to the point, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, what does that mean? Let's think about this for a bit. Whole sermon. The new birth is God implanting new life into a spiritually dead soul. It's the work of God through the powerful word of God giving life to a person. It's a spiritual conception. It's a spiritual resurrection in a person who has or were are dead in sin and through God's work become alive to God. It is the greatest miracle that there is. It has been said, greater than God giving physical or creating physical life is God creating spiritual life in a person. Greater than physical eyes to see the sunrise is God giving spiritual eyes to see the Son of God. Greater also than God creating all of nature is God creating a new nature in a person, in the soul of a sinner. Greater than turning water into wine is God transforming a sinner into a son, a daughter of God. Being born again is a second birth. It's not physical. So verse 4, can you see this little exchange? Nick is like, what? Born again? Like that's going to happen. Now, of course, he's not trying to work it out physically. It's more kind of sarcasm, scorn, stating the obvious. Yeah. The second birth is not physical. It's not psychological. It's not a way of identifying either. It is spiritual. You see, something was desperately wrong with your first birth and mine. No matter how great your father and your mother were or are, and mine are great, by the way, they're the best, so let's not go there. No matter if you were born with 5 digits on each, everything in the right place, you and I were born with a serious condition. We were born with the pollution of sin. We were all born with a sin nature. The toxic poison of sin in us, corrupting us. The Bible describes this condition as being dead in sin. David says in Psalm 51, I was sinful at birth. From the moment my mother conceived me. So we were all born outside of the kingdom of God. Only a second birth gets you into the kingdom of God. So it is a second birth. It is also a heavenly birth. So in the verse 3, right at the end, unless they are born again, or some versions would say, unless they are born from above, which links, by the way, to verse 31 over the page, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. The one who speaks from the earth, the one who comes from heaven is above all. So there's this thing about being born from above, because our first birth is physical and it's below, here, earth. The second birth is spiritual and it's from above. It is also an eye-opening birth. Again, in verse 3, no one, you see in the middle of verse 3, no one can see the kingdom. Now, Jesus isn't referring such to physical sight, but spiritual sight. And when a person is born again, they have an eye-opening experience. That is what happens. Suddenly, they see things totally differently than before. Previously, they couldn't see themselves as they really are, as God sees us. In our sin, they couldn't see Christ for who he really is and what he's done on the cross. But suddenly, the person can see. It's the opening of the mind. It's the opening of the heart, isn't it? The eyes of the heart. John Newton wonderfully wrote, didn't he? I once was blind. Now I see. Or as we're going to sing in a bit, soon, I woke. Suddenly the dungeon that I was in was flamed with light. Just light just poured in. I see. It's true. I understand. It's happening in here. It's happening in here. Being born again is a second birth. It is a heavenly birth. It is an eye-opening birth. And it is an unmerited birth as well. So let's think for a moment. What did you do to be born the first time physically? What did you do? Did you earn the life you have? Did I earn the life I have? Did you do anything to contribute to your birth? No. Absolutely, of course we don't. It's ridiculous, isn't it? We do nothing to earn, to deserve life. God just caused it to happen, didn't he? The same is true of the second birth. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do to earn this second spiritual birth. There's nothing we can do to achieve. There's nothing, no way of trying to gain. There's nothing to make it happen of being born again. You can't be good enough. Pick me, to be born a second time. It's not possible. You have no say. The Bible says it's all of grace. So just as we did nothing for our first birth, so too nothing towards our second spiritual birth. Nothing, no serving, no singing, no sharing, no being present, no praying, no paying, giving, nothing. Titus 3 verse 5. He saved us not because of any deeds we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, which is in John 3. So look at verse 5. Being born again is also a cleansing birth. Verse 5. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So people see that and say, water? That's interesting. Look, baptism. Baptism saves, some people say. And there's some who believe or hold to what's called baptismal regeneration. Dunk the kids and they're in the kingdom. Now, we believe in believer's baptism. And also, it would be strange for Jesus to be talking to Nick here about baptismal regeneration when it was an idea that came many years later. The popular view, and the correct one, is that water here is a metaphor. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. There's another picture coming. Can you see verse 8? And that's wind. But verse 5, water and spirit are next to each other because they're kind of one and the same. So Ezekiel 36, 25, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Now Nicodemus would have known that verse. He probably had it tattooed on his back or something. And maybe along with Isaiah 44, 3, God says, I will pour water on a thirsty land. And we'll say, whoa, another flood? No thanks. No, of course, that's all he means. He then goes on to say, I will pour out my spirit. Water and the spirit, one and the same. Water, clean, new. Spirit, new heart, alive. So verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Being born again is the Spirit of God being poured out like water from above into a person, washing them, soaking, drenching, cleansing the inner being of that person. Out with the dirty soul, sins forgiven, washing, ready for the new life of God to come in. Sins washed away, Holy Spirit coming to stay. So the question is, has this happened to you? Has God washed you? Has Christ taken away your sin? Has he washed the whole of you? Has he made you new? You see, it's also a complete washing. So, bear with me, but when you were born physically, did you have one leg or did you have two? Or how about your eyes? Were you born with one eye and then as you grew up another eye kind of emerged and appeared? No. Assuming all was okay, we were born with a lot, weren't we? It's the same with being born again from above by God. The Spirit makes everything new. Everything affected. A new mind to understand the truth. A new heart aflame with love for the truth, for Jesus. A new will as well. That's the affections, isn't it? Turn towards God. New eyes, talked about it already, eyes to see. New ears. Suddenly I hear differently. I want to listen to certain things. New hands to grasp. They turn to different things. New lips to call on Christ. So has God washed you? Has he made you new? Has your mind, your heart, your will, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, all been affected? Head to foot, has he washed you? And when the Spirit births a person into the kingdom of God, it happens in a moment. It's a sudden work of God. So on your birth certificate, which I assume you don't have with you today, I have mine. It says your name. It should do. It says a place where you were born. Is that all it says? No. It says the year you were born. Is that all it says? No. It says the month you were born. Is that all it says? Oh, should I stop? No. It says the day. Is that it? It might be. But it might also say the time as well. Because there was all of that happening at that moment. So Ben Manson, Perivale Hospital, 1976, get in there, hottest summer, August the 15th, and here's my mum's edition, 3:30 in the afternoon, conveniently in time for afternoon tea. Always been a good boy. All these things, because there was a moment that you went and I went from not being born to being born. Okay? It happened physically, didn't it? Of course it did. Now, some Christians, you might be saying, hang on, Ben, I'm not quite sure when I became a Christian. And I'd include myself in that. It doesn't discount that it happened in a moment of time. Being born again happens in a moment. And it may be happening right now to someone in here. And the moment brings a life-altering change. It brings the greatest change. It's the most dramatic change. A person moves from death to life. There's a status change. Suddenly they're justified before Almighty Creator God. That is incredible. But there's also a change of this God's work and spirit present in the person. So attitudes change. Aims change. Values. Or what we worship, who our master is, our motives, our loves, all change. Yes, we look the same on the outside, but inside, being born again means a person becomes a new creation. Being born again is not a makeover, it's a takeover. You like that? It's your take home, Poppy? It's a takeover by God. And it is by God because, and this is our last thing, being born again is a sovereign work of God. Look at verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So the work of the Spirit of God to convert, to birth a person into the kingdom is like the wind. Well, who controls the wind? Any luck with that recently? Luck? Any divine? No. Who can start the wind? You ever tried stopping the wind? You tried steering the wind? Just avoid our garden so we can have our barbecue, blow next door. No. Have you ever tried doing that? Of course we can't. It has a mind of its own, although it doesn't. It is directed by the invisible hand of God. And the point is, so too the Spirit in giving new birth. No elder, no pastor, no person, no one can direct the Spirit of God. It is God's work. It is his and his alone to direct. God is active and to help with that, turn over, if you would, to chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Let me read these to us of a slight detour into chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And this is the verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So we sometimes think, don't we? Why are some people Christians and others aren't? Why are some people born again and others are not? Is it because they're better and those are worse? Is it because those ones are smarter and they're more gullible? Or is it because of God? Because, as we just read, it is not of natural descent. It makes no difference who your parents are. Nor is it of human decision. So no one decides, okay, tomorrow 10 o'clock I'll be born again. No, it's not of a husband's will either. So we can't will our way in, because the human will is locked in unbelief. It's locked in the sinful nature. It is the will of God to birth someone into the kingdom of God. And this is not a hard thing to understand, but it is perhaps a hard thing to swallow for some of us. Because this and other verses make clear that the new birth, like the wind, belongs to God and God alone. You had nothing to do with your first birth. God did it. You had nothing to do with your second birth, being born again. God does it. All you can do, if you are here today and you're not born again, all you can do, if you can do it, is cry help. That's what you can do. And if that's even in you in a tiny bit, you must do that. Save me, God. Please change me. Rescue me. Because God does it. Like the wind, verse 8, you can hear its sound. You can feel its power. You can see the effects of the wind, of course, but we can't see the wind itself. So too with the Spirit of God. You can't see the Spirit of God. We have no idea where it's coming from, when it's coming in one sense, or where it's going. There's no control. But the Spirit's presence, power, and effects are huge and real. So let's close up. Are you born again? Has the greatest miracle happened in you? Not an upgrade, not even an ultimate upgrade. That's not what this is about. This is about the new birth. Has God, through grace, opened your eyes? Has he washed you? Has he made you new? Are you one of his children? Do you know that? If not, you must be born again. You must be. True story, on the 15th of January 2014, Debbie got a phone call every parent dreads. Her 36-year-old son, Nick, had been in a car accident and he died as a result of his injuries. Nick was a donor. 2 days later, 58-year-old Brian, who lived many miles away, got a phone call in America. Brian had had heart trouble for 20 years and he was in an advanced heart failure. And his family really struggled to pray for a new heart because it meant someone else's life, didn't it, of course. But that day on the phone, Brian was told, you have a new, strong, beautiful heart heading your way. 2 years after his heart transplant, and with great newness of health, Brian wrote to Debbie. They wrote more letters and calls went back and forth. And in 2016, they met. More than 2 years since she last, of course, saw her son alive, Debbie felt his heart beating again. Death gives way to life. Christ gave his life that we might have his life in us, that God might open our chests, take out our old sinful heart, polluted in sin, a heart that's killing us, literally, and put in his brand new heart from heaven, alive, heart that loves Christ, new affections, new hope. A heart that loves godliness. It loves the word. It loves to tell others about Christ as well. Have you got a new heart? Have you ever asked God for a new heart? Has he given you one? It is the greatest thing that could ever happen to someone. And let's come in prayer to the heart surgeon. Let's bring our hearts before him. Sometimes the application to the word is rejoice. In fact, a lot of the time it is, because the gospel is first what God has done for us. And it is simply, well, it's not simple, but it's rejoice, isn't it? Sometimes the application is, if you can, cry out for mercy, because you need to be born again. Because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you can, why don't you pray in a moment, Lord, give me faith. That is a prayer God loves to answer. Other times it might be to cry out for someone else who's yet been birthed into the kingdom of God. Father, some of us here this morning are brokenhearted. Some of us need a new heart. Some of us, our heart is breaking for others who need a new heart. Father, we come to you. Because we can do nothing other than come to you. Praise your name. You sent your Son. Show us the glory and the wonder of the cross. That we can be born again through Christ Jesus, Savior of the world. Minister to our needs. Lift our weary heads. Strengthen our weak knees. And Lord, by your wonderful power, wash us afresh. Fill us anew. That we might love you, live for you. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Oh, how we need it. Even if we've been believers a long time, Lord, we stumble in so many ways. Forgive us. Help us with self-control. Help us with godliness. Strengthen us, Lord, by your Spirit that you love to pour out on your people. And Lord, bring unbelievers into your kingdom. Even this day we pray. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen.